I'm Kim Cartwright. Jack Walker, one of the so-called Budgie Nine, has quit his role as a policy advisor to a federal government minister. Walker was one of the nine locked up in Kuala Lumpur after celebrating Daniel Ricciardo's Malaysian Grand Prix win by stripping down to his budgie smugglers printed with the Malaysian flag. Walker was an advisor in the office of Defence Industry Minister Christopher Pyne. In a statement, Mr. Pyne said the 26-year-old's resignation and apology was accepted and added that one lapse of judgment doesn't detract from the fact that Jack has been an outstanding staff member. Members of a community in far north Queensland are receiving counselling after an horrific crash at a funeral viewing. The 55-year-old man, believed to be driving the vehicle which crashed into the house and killed a woman, has been charged with murder and is expected to face further charges. It's understood the funeral was being held for the man's partner. It's Mental Health Week, and those struggling with depression and anxiety are being urged to reach out for help. Lifeline Chief Executive Pete Smigel told Macquarie poor mental health is becoming a national crisis.
Very sadly, have ourselves in the midst of a national suicide emergency. There was more than 3,000 of our friends and neighbours who died by suicide in 2015. As a community, we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening?
The number for Lifeline is 13 11 14. Hurricane Matthew is continuing its course of destruction up the east coast of the United States. More than a million residents in Florida remain without power, and the storm now has been downgraded to a Category 1 and is hammering the South Carolina coastline. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory is warning residents of his state not to become complacent.
As soon as this hurricane turned inward, which is what we didn't want, yes, it did downgrade into wind, but it upgraded into the volume of water. And water can kill.
Top Republicans are scrambling to distance themselves from Donald Trump after the release of an audio tape recorded 11 years ago in which he boasts about groping women. Mr. Trump was speaking to the host of a celebrity TV show and does not appear to have known his remarks were being recorded. Hillary Clinton is calling them horrific. Our US correspondent Simon Marks has more.
The tape is crude, profane and politically devastating. Donald Trump telling Billy Bush of TV show Access Hollywood that he has groped women and used his star power to try and seduce them.
I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even know it. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Hillary Clinton says the tape is horrific. She tweeted, "We cannot allow this man to become president." Among top Republicans, there is now open discussion about whether Mr. Trump can be replaced on the presidential ticket. Less than 48 hours before he's due to debate Mrs. Clinton here. Simon Marks, Air News, St. Louis.
Also in news, police are investigating a serious traffic crash that occurred overnight in Surfers Paradise. Shortly after 11 o'clock, police were called to a Fernie Avenue address following reports that a pedestrian had been struck by a vehicle. The man, aged in his 20s, was taken to hospital with serious injuries. The driver was uninjured. Investigations are continuing. Police are also calling for witnesses to a serious crash in Carindale near Brisbane involving a motorcycle and a garbage truck on Scrub Road around 6:20 yesterday morning. The rider was taken to hospital in a critical condition. This is Air News. Perth Glory conceded a bizarre own goal as Central Coast fought back from 3-0 down to secure a 3-all draw in last night's A-League clash. Adam Taggart and Diego Castro put Perth on track in the first half, but the Mariners fought back with Roy O'Donovan finding the net in the 56th minute and a gift at the 86th when a goal line clearance from Glory defender Mark Warren crashed straight into his own goalkeeper and into the back of the net. Meanwhile, Sydney FC takes local bragging rights with a slick and comprehensive 4-0 win over Western Sydney Wanderers, and Melbourne City have shaken off a second-half red card to battle to a gritty 1-0 win over the Phoenix in their opener in Wellington. Even the flag marshals couldn't hide their excitement when Ford young gun Chas Mostert finally completed Bathurst 1000 qualifying after 4 years of trying. 12 months ago, Mostert was in hospital nursing a broken leg after a horror crash on Mount Panorama. Yesterday, during top 10, scores of rabid Ford fans could be seen cheering Mostert on from the dipper where he suffered last year's spectacular crash. "Seeing so many people come out during qualifying was absolutely crazy," he said. He qualified third fastest for today's race. Also in sport, the All Blacks have completed the perfect rugby championship with a 57-15 demolition of South Africa, lifting them to within sight of a test world record. Australian Independent Radio News.
How would you like to own a mobile coffee franchise for under $50,000? You can with The Coffee Guy. Be part of the thriving coffee industry. Find out more at their free information seminar on October 22. See the Coffee Guy van in action. Try the coffee. Meet the franchisee. Spaces are limited. Register online now to qualify for one of three 6K startup bonus packs. Find out more at thecoffeeguy.net.au. Terms and conditions apply.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, partly cloudy today, Jimmy. Light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 40 k's in the middle of the day. But overall, lovely day coming up, a top temperature of 23 degrees in Sydney. Jimmy, what about up at Terry Hills and down at Tumut?
Probably going to shock you, Roman. It's actually 21 degrees at Terry Hills.
Slightly cooler.
It's slightly cooler, yeah. Well spotted there. Let's go into Tumut, up in the mountains. I remember when my old man first took me up to Tumut. He said, you'll see a lot of our cowboys up here.
You know what Tumut's famous for?
Dad's gone too far.
Only place in New South Wales that Darren Weir's trained a winner.
There you go.
2013 Tumut Cup.
And, of course, it's a palindrome. We know that.
Yeah, correct. Amundo.
Yeah, Tumut. Well, anyway, let's talk about Tumut's weather. It's becoming cloudy. 23 degrees is the maximum for Tumut.
So Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back to back.
Has Dad won this race? The Australian Grand Prix in 85 in 2016. Nico Rosberg. The Australian Grand Prix.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the show. Still talking palindromes in here. I tell you what, if you'd have told me that we'd be talking palindromes to start the show, I think Tab would have given us 100 to 1.
Well, we actually had two talk topics we were talking about as well, which is even more phenomenal.
That's right.
We had to settle on one.
Start to.
I hope we settled on a good one, but anyway.
Fingers crossed on that, Raymond. Sunday the 9th of October, hope you're having a great start to your day. I know we are. Looking forward to this program. Dare I say it, Raymond?
It is massive.
It is a massive program. Hey, we're in our second studio too, which is the studio usually that the Big Sports Breakfast comes out of.
Why is that?
I don't know why we're here.
Second week in a row.
Yeah. I think we've graduated.
I don't think that's the case. No.
Maybe they've said, righto, boys, you've earned your stripes. Up you go.
Kevin might be a problem with our normal studio.
Technical issues with the other studio.
Possibly.
Right.
But that's
enough.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, up nice and early, we'll have our race replay. How many you got today for us?
I've got a few.
Group ones everywhere, so...
Six or seven, I think.
Six. Hang on, that means eight. Six or seven. Race replay.
Sponsored part of the show now.
Okay, we can look forward to that. David Van Dyke. Wow, Yankee Rose. What a run. Dean Yandel, first Group One. Gee, she came from a long way back. You thought at the straight, you thought, oh, a lot of work to do.
And she goes to the Cox Plate, Jimmy. Wow.
Now, what was she in the Cox Plate betting prior to that run? She was 40 to 1, I think I heard in the
into
coverage.
26, isn't she now?
26, yeah. So, great work.
26 to 17.
Very excited group of owners yesterday. So, we'll speak to David Van Dyke about that. John Hawkes, a couple of winners for Team Hawkes, and big winners too, you know.
Massive winners. Corfu Guineas. And the Scalacci Stakes with two really good colts, Jimmy, Divine Prophet and Star Turn.
What about that gap Divine Prophet went through?
Good ride, Dwayne. Yeah. How good was Winx?
Well, how good was she?
Yeah, very good question.
She rolled out of the gate. They all rolled out of the gates. It wasn't truly run until about the 1,000-metre mark, I suppose.
I used the term ruthless efficiency in my copy this morning. Yeah. And I don't know if that adequately describes her win yesterday, but that's how she's winning her races, isn't she, Jim? It's not with the absolute dominance of her heart at the moment.
No.
She just goes about her business with that ruthless efficiency, and she just keeps winning 12 in a row.
Bowman didn't move on until about 300 from home, did he?
He just made sure he had Blackheart Bart in Winx Society. Didn't want Black Hart Bar to get out four or five in front.
Sure.
So a lovely ride, but it was great to watch, wasn't it? For a three-horse race, it was compelling. Everyone was watching that, and it was a terrific contest. She was just too good.
Someone made a good point. Why didn't they, well, he or she get scratched and just have a match race?
Because he or she picked up a fair bit of money for going out for practice.
I know. Yeah. Well, we're complaining there's only three. Now we want two. So we're very hard to please. But $27,000 prize money left.
For fourth, yeah.
Surely someone out there has got a horse that can run 2,000 metres. And
I would have been happy to do it because I heard you ran around Mount Panorama during the week.
Well, run around Mount Panorama is a very loose term.
Okay.
Yeah, we ran the first hill. Steeper than I anticipated.
How is the hill? I've driven around it, but when you drive around a place, you get a different appreciation. You actually run along a road and up a hill. So what's the hill like?
Well, the hill's reasonably steep, but it's a gradual incline. Yeah. It's the decline that's incredible. It is so steep.
And going down into Conroy Street.
Television does not do it justice.
Okay.
And from what I understand, talking to some of the drivers, and we were up there, of course, on Thursday and Friday, and we spoke to a number of drivers that, you know, they all talked about it. Whether you describe it as courage, stupidity, a little bit mad, or whatever it is, that's what you do when you go to the mountain. Mm. You know, it's a very different track. There's that danger element, and they all sort of embrace it. Chas Mostert, of course, who won it in 2014, then 2015, broken leg, broken wrist. So he's, I see, third in qualifying.
Third on the grid this morning.
That's a fantastic effort from him. Conquered the demons there, no problems. David Hayes, four winners yesterday for Hayes at Davernick, including he's our Rocky.
Yep.
Got there for the Punners Club.
Special win for David Hayes. Group one win number 83. But the first with his son Ben in the training partnership.
Oh, there you go.
So it was a significant moment for the Hayes stable and Tom Dabbenig. And that horse won two good races at the championships in the autumn, Jim. The Carbine Club and the Frank Packer. And he's now on a five-race winning streak.
So, yeah, well done. He's our Rocky. Global Glamour was a very impressive winner for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. Ran like Gay Waterhouse and runner should. Out in
up
front, bang.
Tough,
away you go. Can't catch me. Flight Stakes win last week. Mm-hmm. And what about the format of that? Yankee Rose and Global Glamour. Yep. So we'll speak to Gay as well. Phil Moss is going to give us all the latest from the world of football.
Did you watch any A-League last night?
I was gigging last night, Ray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. But I was
flying back. I did listen to another radio station as I was driving home back from Melbourne and listened to the last 15 minutes of it. 61,000 at ANZ to watch Sydney FC 4 Western Sydney Wanderers 0.
Demolition derby.
Yeah,
was the word, but spectacular. And I'll tell you what, I was looking at some of the TV numbers coming out of Friday night. This was, of course, Brisbane versus Melbourne Victory.
Won
all in that game.
Late equaliser there.
About 120,000 on SBS and about a similar number on Fox Sports. So
that's pretty good.
Not bad. Mm. Be very interesting to see what the numbers are coming out of this game last night because, of course, they've got their big television deal that's to be done for next year. There is speculation that obviously Fox Sports are keen to do it again. And also there's, I think Optus are going to weigh in again. Of course, they've got the English Premier League and they might be going again for some more football. So
unusual occurrence too, happening as we speak, Jimmy. Australia are playing Argentina.
Yes.
Of all places, Twickenham. It's the Argentines' home game. They've taken it to London and it's 13-5, getting close to the end of the first half. Australia, the Wallabies are in front, 13-5 against Argentina.
And just starting to get a little bit argy-bargy there as we see Michael Hooper do some great work at the breakdown and secure Australia possession. They get a penalty there, but there was a bit of a push and shove with Quade Cooper. Mm-hmm. So Quade's in the midst of it, and Australia playing well. They're a competitive side, the Argentinians. It's strange they take it to Twickenham. I can see there's plenty of seats that have been sold. I don't know what the official crowd will be. I'm presuming it's a financial thing that they do.
Was that the reason? Financial thing?
Well, you would think so. But, well, if you think you're going to win the rugby championship, you'd be playing them in Mendoza or Buenos Aires or somewhere. You know, you'd stay at home, wouldn't you?
Strange decision, but
then again, Australia play teams in Chicago at Soldiers Field, so that's a financial incentive there.
All Blacks overnight, 57-15 at Kings Park against the Springboks. All-time record shellacking, basically.
They've had some controversy during the course of the week too, haven't they, the Springboks? Mm. The All Blacks, so player sent home. Because of behavioural issues. So they've put that to one side and won. I think this is a disappointing South African side.
Yeah.
We're going to speak to one of the V8 drivers this morning. Not sure which one, depending on availability and what their schedule is this morning. So that'll be exciting because, as I mentioned, we spoke to Garth Tander and Craig Lowndes and Lee Holdsworth and Chaz Mostert and Mark Winterbottom.
What time's the race start? 10 a.m.?
No, I did read it the other day. It's like 10:55 or something. Or it might have been 11:05 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they'll try to finish, so it just goes straight into the news.
Yeah. I remember the days just to get up and have your breakfast because it'll be away at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Cause it'd take a lot longer to do your 500. But it was great. It was fantastic to watch. And
it was a bit of a thing you did as a kid, didn't you? I remember growing up out at Cootamundra, you wouldn't watch it all day. But it'd be on all day.
Exactly. You get up, you'd watch the start, you'd watch the first hour or so, you'd go out and do your sport or your chores you have to do.
Yeah.
You're back in at lunchtime and you watch the last couple of hours, you know.
So. I'd reckon Mrs. Thomas had a lot of chores for you to do too, and I hope you did them with diligence. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question.
Yes.
Ford or Holden?
I was a Holden man.
Were you?
Yeah. Oh, always a Holden man, yeah.
Why is that?
But my
hang on, why were you always a Holden man? Because I was a Ford man.
Yeah, because my dad always put Holdens, but funny thing, I was listening to you during the week, and you're talking about your favourite drivers.
Yes.
And believe it or not, Alan Moffat, when I was a kid, was my favourite driver.
Well, that was funny, because someone rang up and said, why was Alan Moffat no one's favourite driver?
He was mine, yeah, and Eddie drove a Ford, so it was conflicting. I was happy when Holden won, but I was always cheering for Moffat when I was a kid.
Dick Johnson was my favourite.
Enough.
Dick Johnson.
17.
Yeah, car 17. Remember the Rock? He hit the Rock. He won three Bathurst.
He's a great driver.
I tell you what you forget about, and up there you get immersed in the history of it a bit. Larry Perkins, seven Bathurst.
With Peter Brock.
He won. That's a fair effort.
With Peter Perfect.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah.
But still, you win seven yourself. I mean, Peter Brock's king of the mountain at nine. But that's a fantastic effort. Craig Lowndes has won six,
and Jamie,
going for number seven.
And Jamie Wincup's going for number five today from pole after recently winning his 100th race. So he'd be the favourite, wouldn't he, Wincup?
Yeah, he is. Wincup Dumbrell, because Dumbrell's fast as well,
your
co-driver. And that's, I think they've got to do at least 54 laps.
And Scotty McLaughlin, the young Kiwi's off two. And he's a gun.
Yeah,
he is
absolutely
a gun.
Yeah. Looks the part too.
So 10:55, you think, Jim?
Yeah. Now, our legend of the game today. Mm-hmm. No, 11:05, I think.
11:05.
Legend of the game today. Given the fact that the A-League started here, and first weekend this weekend. Robbie Slater.
Ah, one of the greats.
One of Southampton's finest.
One of Australian soccer's finest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 44 caps for the Socceroos. I want to ask him, and it's probably taking him back, but I want to ask him about the MCG 1997 World Cup qualifier.
Is that Iraq? Iran.
They're up 2-0. They were going to France, 98.
He never got to a World Cup, did he, Robbie?
No. And you know what happened?
Well, Iran fought back.
Yeah, but you know what happened?
Mm.
Remember the serial pest, Peter Hoare?
He ran onto the field.
He ran onto the field.
Correct, yeah.
Australia had all the momentum. He ran onto the field. The game was stopped for 10 minutes.
It changed the game. It did
too. I was reading this yesterday and I thought, oh, he'd done something at the Melbourne Cup.
Halfway down the straight in Saintly's year, 1996.
He'd done something at Michael Hutchins' funeral.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
He'd done a number of things at Newcastle Knights games. And then he stopped the soccer. And I read an article from this bloke who saw him outside the ground earlier. And it just ran through his mind, what's he doing here, that bloke? Anyway, he ran on the field, stopped the game. Momentum swings all the way back to Iran. Becomes 2-2. So there you go. We can... So our talk topic was going to be serial pests, but...
Wallabies win again, Jimmy, just quickly. 18:05. So what is our talk topic?
No, we'll do it.
Deliver it now?
I'll tell you what we'll do.
Okay.
Our talk topic we'll release after the break.
As we normally do.
We just like to tease people to make them stay here for the ad break. But what
one ad break.
If I could just say three words based on the week that we've had.
Yes.
Up, Cronulla.
Deadlines are a great motivator. Need some motivation to finally do something about that beer belly? The Next Man Challenge kicks off on October the 10th. Hi, I'm Adam McDougall and I created the Man Challenge, a 10-week exercise and food program that takes just 10 minutes a day. The time to do something about your beer belly has arrived. No more procrastinating. Do it for your family, do it for you, do it now. Register at themanchallenge.com.au. Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best of Asian racing. Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Well, I've heard that song a few times since Sunday.
You know it was in the top 50 iTunes downloads.
It doesn't surprise me.
Unbelievable.
It gets in your head and you just keep singing.
You should live in the Shire, Ray.
I can imagine.
Try living in the Shire.
Has anyone come back down to earth yet?
No.
In the Shire?
No, why would you?
And why would you? Just enjoy it.
I believe real estate's up about 10%.
We haven't heard from Rod from now yet. Is he still...
We heard from him during the week a couple of times.
How was he?
I think on Thursday he made mention of the fact that he was still celebrating.
Has he been to bed yet? He probably has.
He's a bit like Chris Iington too. He's still got his jersey on from the Sunday.
I tell you what though, Jim, it was great to watch, wasn't it?
And yeah, look, what a game.
And if you didn't barrack for Cronulla or whatever, you had to in the end think, well, you know what? Geez, good on them. They finally won it. They finally got that first premiership and... A lot of emotion after the game and a magnificent speech from Cameron Smith, I thought. One of the best speeches from a losing captain I've ever heard.
Were you surprised?
You know what? No.
No.
He is fantastic. Yeah. What a role model.
Well, he's Australian captain, has been for 6 or 7 years.
On that point about role models, Jimmy, I must ask you your opinion of the Kangaroos team.
Yes.
And in particular, the decisions to leave out Andrew Fifita and Semi Radradra for decisions not related to football, so to speak.
I totally understand why the Australian Rugby League has done it. I'm a fan of increased responsibility onto players for behaviour. But I think they're stepping into murky waters when you start allowing... There's a presumption of innocence associated... I'm talking about Semi Radradra. There's a presumption of innocence associated there that was given to, say, for example, Sean Kennedy-Dowell in similar circumstances last year that hasn't been afforded to Semi Radradra.
Well, isn't his court case due to be heard in mid-November? And that was the issue?
At the end of November. He'd be back from the tour.
Would he be back?
Yeah, he'd been back from the tour. And the Andrew Fifita one... You know, this has come down to, again, freedom of speech and you have the right to associate with who you like within reason. But it's the very visible support for Kieran Loveridge. And I think the lack of remorse that he's shown when it's been pointed out to him very clearly, look, you know, it's okay to support a mate, but here we have a family that's been grieving now over two sons. And he still hasn't got the message.
He made comments on the start of grand final week.
Yep.
That he didn't regret what he said, which was just... That was almost the dumbest thing I've
heard.
That's
the problem. That's the lack of understanding around the sensitivity of the issue, and I think...
Just so sad.
So from that point of view, it needs to be... you need to be very careful, but I understand why they're doing it.
But you're right. They've drawn a line in the sand now, so there has to be consistency going forward. I think put a price on... Earning and keeping an Australian jumper, that's fantastic.
But Mal Meninga's been very deliberate about talking
absolutely.
About that.
Yeah. Now they've made this line in the sand and player behaviour is going to be part of that team ethos. Well, I hope it stays consistent from now on. Jimmy, talking about consistency, a little segue into our potential talk topic today. I hope this
works. It's not a potential talk topic. We're going with it, Raymond.
Okay. We had a couple of little ones we were tossing around, but the All Blacks last night, 57-15 at Kings Park against the Springboks there. Biggest winning margin ever against that proud nation, rugby nation in South Africa, made it 17 consecutive wins for the All Blacks. That equals their all-time best winning streak set in mid to late 60s, and also a Springboks team from a few years ago. Got me thinking, on the back of Winx's 12th consecutive win, famous winning streaks in sport.
Cronulla's one consecutive premiership.
Do they can dine out for 12 months.
Do we use that one as a...
Why not? If you're a Sharks supporter, that's it. Dine out for 12 months.
There you go. Streaks. Do they have to be winning streaks? They can just be streaks? I was going to say Greg Chappell sucks. Seven ducks. I know you get upset.
He never got seven in a row.
No, that's right. He nicked a nudge for a two or something.
He got four in a row. He had a couple of single figure scores.
Remember Mark Edward Waugh, who's been our legend of the game? Four straight ducks in Sri Lanka. In about 1992. I'm going to say the one that I thought you would have said.
Mm-hmm.
Dragons.
11 in a row.
11 in a row. 56-66.
Black Caviar.
Never Before, Never Again is the title of the book, and I think that's probably pretty true.
100%, and probably Black Caviar.
Now you can't win one in a row from a rugby league point of view. Two in a row.
You shouldn't give too many away because famous winning streaks in sport. Love to hear your thoughts on that. We've got plenty of prizes to give away, Jimmy.
We've got some good CDs courtesy of Sony Music. Bruce Springsteen.
Chapter and verse. I take one home with us. I shouldn't say that. Barry Gibb, in the now.
What do you mean? We all know that if they're any good, you do take them home, so...
You can't say that.
Yes, I can.
Born to Runs on it, Jim.
Yeah, Born to Runs on it. The River, one of the great songs of all time. And a Born in the USA.
A very young Bruce on the cover too, I must say.
There he is.
Mm. Looks almost...
I've seen the future of rock and roll, and his name's Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. That's a famous line.
Who said that?
He was a writer for Rolling Stone magazine.
Say, was it Rolling Stone?
Yeah, and this guy said, I've seen the future of rock and roll, and his name is Bruce Springsteen.
He's a bit Bob Dylan-ish there, isn't he?
He is a bit Bob Dylan.
Anyway. But part of our prizes, and your good friend?
Yeah, courtesy of Prakash out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. And it's just come through, too, that Event Cinemas Parramatta are the best managed event cinemas
in Australia. There's no question about
that. No. I think they had the awards overnight. So well done to Prakash and the team. He was nominated.
Prakash and presented to himself.
Nominated himself, and he was picked up the award. So well done. Congratulations. So those tickets are up for grabs as well. So lots to play for this morning. Lots of people now wanting to have their say too. So why don't we launch straight into some callers, Raymond. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Very well, morning, thanks.
Adrian. I got a text message about Rebecca Wilson through the week, and I was just totally shocked. I wanted to say something the other day, but I'm pathetically blocked by the Big Sports Breakfast midweek thing, which is just a joke. Mm. Anyway, good luck to them. Thing about Rebecca, I just absolutely admired her because she was fearless. And, when I write as a journalist, I had a similar sort of thing, which then you cop plenty of abuse, you cop plenty of threats, and you get intimidated. And she never buckled once. I didn't always agree with what she said, but as far as that goes, and there's a lot of journalists out there who I call Pollyannas, and they need to take a leaf of their own book. They want to be everybody's friend. But Rebecca wrote it as she saw it, whether in her own eyes. And for that, totally admire her.
Adrian, you summed it up perfectly. I've known Rebecca for a long time and didn't know she was ill until recently.
That was a shock.
Didn't know how ill she was, Jimmy, until earlier in the week. And it became fairly obvious that it was a battle that she probably wasn't going to win.
Mm.
The suddenness of her passing, though, and still coming to grips with that, as is all my colleagues in the office. Rebecca was tough, uncompromising as a journalist, and she never backed away from a story if she felt it was right.
Yep.
And it didn't matter who she had in her crosshairs. If she thought this was what the public needed to know, away she went. On the other side of her, I know Rebecca Wilson as a person, wife of John Hardigan, who's been a long time friend and mentor, and I'm getting emotional, Jimmy, sorry. She was a wonderful person, and very, very sadly missed. 54 is way, way too young. And to Jim Wilson, her brother, who I know very well, I've had a couple little comments with Jim the last couple of days, and he's doing it tough. Jim, we're there for you, and for John Hardigan. And to Rebecca's family, our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yeah, well said, mate. It certainly came as a shock. It was news came through on Friday morning when we were up at Bathurst. And I found myself disagreeing with what Rebecca wrote on nearly every occasion.
And Rebecca liked that. She
and that
wanted
was part of her deal. That's
debate,
exactly right. That was part of her deal. But I had great admiration for her fearlessness. I had great admiration for that. And knew her, worked with her at different stages. And the interest that she showed in people, was just always incredible. Hello, and as you said, mate, 54. And leaves behind a couple of sons as well. So, well said, Raymond. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after the news.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Jack Walker, one of the so-called Budgie Nine, has quit his role as a policy advisor to a federal government minister. Walker was one of the nine locked up in Kuala Lumpur after celebrating Daniel Ricciardo's Malaysian Grand Prix win by stripping down to his budgie smugglers printed with the Malaysian flag. Walker was an advisor in the office of Defence Industry Minister Christopher Pyne. In a statement, Mr. Pyne said the 26-year-old's resignation and apology was accepted and added that one lapse of judgment doesn't detract from the fact that Jack has been an outstanding staff member. Members of a community in far north Queensland are receiving counselling after an horrific crash at a funeral viewing. The 55-year-old man, believed to be driving the vehicle which crashed into the house and killed a woman, has been charged with murder and is expected to face further charges. It's understood the funeral was being held for the man's partner. It's Mental Health Week, and those struggling with depression and anxiety are being urged to reach out for help. Lifeline Chief Executive Pete Smigel told Macquarie poor mental health is becoming a national crisis.
Very sadly, we have ourselves in the midst of a national suicide emergency. There was more than 3,000 of our friends and neighbours who died by suicide in 2015. As a community, we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening?
The number for Lifeline is 13 11 14. Hurricane Matthew is continuing its course of destruction up the east coast of the United States. More than a million residents in Florida remain without power, and the storm now has been downgraded to a Category 1 and is hammering the South Carolina coastline. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory is warning residents of his state not to become complacent.
As soon as this hurricane turned inward, which is what we didn't want, yes, it did downgrade into wind, but it upgraded into the volume of water. And water can kill.
Top Republicans are scrambling to distance themselves from Donald Trump after the release of an audio tape recorded 11 years ago in which he boasts about groping women. Mr. Trump was speaking to the host of a celebrity TV show and does not appear to have known his remarks were being recorded. Hillary Clinton is calling them horrific. Our US correspondent Simon Marks has more.
The tape is crude, profane and politically devastating. Donald Trump telling Billy Bush of TV show Access Hollywood that he has groped women and used his star power to try and seduce them.
I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even know it. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Hillary Clinton says the tape is horrific. She tweeted, "We cannot allow this man to become president." Among top Republicans, there is now open discussion about whether Mr. Trump can be replaced on the presidential ticket. Less than 48 hours before he's due to debate Mrs. Clinton here. Simon Marks, Air News, St. Louis.
Also in news, police are investigating a serious traffic crash that occurred overnight in Surfers Paradise. Shortly after 11 o'clock, police were called to a Fernie Avenue address following reports that a pedestrian had been struck by a vehicle. The man, aged in his 20s, was taken to hospital with serious injuries. The driver was uninjured. Investigations are continuing. Police are also calling for witnesses to a serious crash in Carindale near Brisbane involving a motorcycle and a garbage truck on Scrub Road around 6:20 yesterday morning. The rider was taken to hospital in a critical condition. This is Air News. Perth Glory conceded a bizarre own goal as Central Coast fought back from 3-0 down to secure a 3-all draw in last night's A-League clash. Adam Taggart and Diego Castro put Perth on track in the first half, but the Mariners fought back with Roy O'Donovan finding the net in the 56th minute and a gift at the 86th when a goal line clearance from Glory defender Mark Warren crashed straight into his own goalkeeper and into the back of the net. Meanwhile, Sydney FC takes local bragging rights with a slick and comprehensive 4-0 win over Western Sydney Wanderers, and Melbourne City have shaken off a second-half red card to battle to a gritty 1-0 win over the Phoenix in their opener in Wellington. Even the flag marshals couldn't hide their excitement when Ford young gun Chas Mostert finally completed Bathurst 1000 qualifying after 4 years of trying. 12 months ago, Mostert was in hospital nursing a broken leg after a horror crash on Mount Panorama. Yesterday, during top 10, scores of rabid Ford fans could be seen cheering Mostert on from the dipper where he suffered last year's spectacular crash. Seeing so many people come out during qualifying was absolutely crazy, he said. He qualified third fastest for today's race. Also in sport, the All Blacks have completed the perfect rugby championship with a 57-15 demolition of South Africa, lifting them to within sight of a test world record. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy for Sydney, light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 40 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day. The chance of rainfall? Zero.
Zero. Outstanding.
Becoming windy, though. Windy yesterday, too. Becoming windy. Maximum of 23 degrees at Sydney Town. Now, what about at Mount Pritchard,
yes,
Raymond? And let's take us north to Moree.
Okay, Mount Pritchard, partly cloudy. It'll be 24 degrees today.
Mm.
Up at Moree, good morning, Ron, who's a regular listener.
He is.
Up there at Moree. It's currently 13 degrees, but you're heading for a top temperature of 31. How about that? Sunny, lovely day in Moree.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
You might. And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend as Jimmy punches the air. Jimmy, did you see any races yesterday?
Absolutely, I did.
Okay.
Can I just say at this point, 3 from 3 for the Punters Club yesterday.
You had a big
day. My man, the Guff, well done. Global Glamour, thank you very much.
You've had a big weekend.
He's our Rocky.
Had a gig
Thank
last
you very
night,
much.
A bit extra coin in the Smith household.
And Yankee Rose. So there you go.
Speaking of, let's listen to it. Outstanding filly this. The first filly to win the Spring Champion Stakes.
Ready, Fire Rain in front by three quarters to Veladero. Honey Wine getting closer in third. Prized Icon is in a bit of a pocket from Swear Tumultuous. Yankee Rose, 5 lengths off them, being popped the question. Veladero shot to the lead. Honey Wine and Swear giving chase. Further back to Yankee Rose. She's trying a hard out. Swear moves up on the outside of Honey Wine. Veladero. Here's Yankee Rose charging. Yankee Rose goes to Swear and Prize Icon. And Yankee Rose, the first filly to win the Spring Champion Stakes. Yankee Rose overhauled Swear and Prized Icon, who are in a photo.
What a performance from David Van Dyke. We're going to speak to him later on in the program. Dean Yendall gets his first ever Group 1, creates history with the first filly to win the Moet and Chandon Spring Champion Stakes. But the quick backup, David Van Dyke said, look, I didn't want to wait 3 weeks between runs, so we'll get her out there again and get her going. And wow, didn't she fly?
Hasn't done it before, only a small filly, but she put on weight after a flight stakes defeat.
3 to 5 kilos,
yeah,
he was talking.
So Dave thought, well, you know, we'll ask him shortly, but why not give it a go? And she was outstanding. The other big race at Randwick yesterday, this was the last day of Group 1 racing in Sydney for the year. That was the last Group 1 won by Yankee Rose. The Yank Stakes, Dixie Blossom, she hasn't had much luck this spring. Tim Clark, what a ride.
Dixie Blossoms and Extensible getting to the outside. They're still well back. Replique goes for home. It's a length and a half in front from Tears in Heaven. Dixie Blossoms is slicing through the field. She's coming with a big run, Dixie Blossoms, and quickly pounced upon the lead. Lady Lafay, the inside, clear from Replique. Then Zambarba, Dixie Blossoms, edging clear. Great ride, Tim Clark. Dixie Blossoms by a length and a half, Lady Lafay. Happy Hannah third, Extensible.
So well done, Ronnie Quinn. Tim Clark, you mentioned the good ride there, the Yank Stake victory there for Dixie Blossoms. Now, we've had a call, an SMS here, Raymond, about what weights might happen in the Caulfield Cup. Have you given? Can you give us an update on that?
I'm just trying to find it as we speak. So whilst I do that, Jimmy,
right,
we'll go straight to Caulfield. Jimmy, what about Winx in the Caulfield Stakes? A three-horse race that everyone was deriding and debating and criticising all week.
Yes, weren't they? Didn't they? Sydney Press go hard at their Melbourne counterparts.
As you steer me down.
Thomas, wading into the murky world of...
Well, what a compelling contest this turned out to be.
Is she going to be given a race or not? They swing wide, the pair of them, and they've left Hiyoshi behind, but around the turn, Blackheart Bart straightened up about a half in front of Winx. Now Bowman's just asking her to go, and she sidles up at the 200 metres. Blackheart Bart trying to really go with her, but Winx now, with about 150 to go, drew a neck in front. Blackheart Bart won't go away, but Winx is too good, far too good. She scared her rivals away, and she blew them away when they got there by two lengths. Second to Blackheart Bart, Hayoshi third. There's the unbroken.
No, he's always comes up with something, Greg Miles. He scared them away, and then she blew them away. Yeah, she did blow them away. Now, you've got those weights there for the Caulfield Cup.
One of our listeners just asked what weights has the two mares, Real Love and Jamaica, got in the Caulfield Cup. They both have 52 kilos. Jamaica is currently the Caulfield Cup favourite, Jimmy, at?
$3.70. Scottish at $8. Exosphere at $9 with Tally. Real Love, $10. Good Who course. Would ride Real Love at 52 kilos?
Yeah, it won't be Brad Will, that's for sure. I'm not 100% certain. Jimmy,
who would ride Jamaica?
I think...
52 kilos.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that one too.
Sorry.
Jimmy, Cox Plate?
Cox Plate, yeah.
Given that Winx was so dominant yesterday.
Well, she was $1.80, and then we had Hartnell in there at about...
$3. I don't think it changed much.
No, well, there's $1.90 Winx. Mm-hmm. Hartnell now at $3, and then you go out to Blackheart Bart. So Blackheart Bart is eased. Yeah.
And Yankee Rose in two.
Haraki, Lucia Valentina, they're all at $15. Yankee Rose, as you mentioned, top of the show, into $17.
Outstanding she was yesterday. No filly has won a Cox Plate for 40 years. Surround, the one and only filly to win it in 1976. A great surround.
There you go.
There you go. A little stat for you, Jimmy.
Fantastic.
Global Glamour. Everyone thought that no horse could go Flight Stakes and back up a week later into the 1,000 guineas. No one told Gay Waterhouse or Adrian Bott.
400 metres left to go, and Global Glamour being joined by La Luna Rossa. Legless Verve poised, Whispering Brook cutting the corner with I'm a Star. Wider Samara Dancer, Fox Plays weaved her way through. She's got Overheel starting to come. Global Glamour being tackled by I Am a Star on the inside. I Am a Star and Global Glamour, Fox Plays not there. Whispering Brook between the two leaders. It's Global Glamour, Whispering Brook and I Am a Star, but Global Glamour gives Gay 1,000 guineas. She wins it from I Am a Star and Whispering Brook game third. Fox Play got motoring late. Don't know whether she handled the course, really. They're followed by...
So Global Glamour, as you mentioned, winning the Waterhouse Way. Waterhouse Bot, of course, Way. But just tough run, leading all the way. Fantastic effort. The short turnaround, quick backup, whatever. You know, the footy players go on about how bad it is. The horses just get it done, don't they?
Yeah, well done.
Global Glamour on that performance. Outstanding from that filly.
The big race of the day was the next one, Jimmy, the Caulfield Guineas. Terrific contest, this. Barrier draws win races. John Hawkes is a great believer of this. A Divine Prophet drew one. Impending drew right out wide. Divine Prophet, great ride, had the right run. Impending didn't. Divine Prophet wins the Caulfield Guineas.
Haydock putting in a burst around the outside, and Impending's got onto his back. In the straight, revolving door and down the outside, Haydock are racing to the lead together. Divine Prophet getting a needle-eye gap down on the inside with Saracino. There are many chances. Divine Prophet and Haydock. Divine Prophet the inside, Haydock and Seaburge. Seaburge flies home. They come to the line together. Divine Prophet just won it in a photo finish from Seaburge and Haydock. Just behind those...
Yeah, fantastic ride there from Dwayne. Done. What about through the gap? So, still needed the luck from Barrier 1, though.
Needed a good ride.
And the good ride and the luck. The gap was there when he was available to go through it. So, stallion making now for Divine Prophet. What's the value of that horse now?
Minimum 10, probably 15 million now.
Okay, there you go.
So, the first prize was 600,000, but... You're right to check now for the stud as well. So big day for the owners and connections of Divine Prophet. David Hayes had a big day yesterday too, Jimmy. He had three winners in three feature races going into the Group 1s. Just missed in the Caulfield Guineas with Seaburge. He gets up with He's Our Rocky.
Greatest team leading around the home turn from Royal Rapture. Now He's Our Rocky's angling up behind those two horses. Jack and Obey and Bon Orem are out wider in the straight now. Royal Rapture moved to the lead. He's Our Rocky has threaded through. He's got his chance now. And wider Bon Orem. Tavachi's in the mix as well. Greatest team kicking on the inside, but He's Our Rocky really lifting now. He's Our Rocky finding the line. They hit it. He's Our Rocky got there right on the wire. Another one for Dwayne. Beat Greatest team. Tavachi might grab third from Royal
Rapture. Another one for Dwayne, another one for Hayes and Dabney, as you mentioned, Ray. He's Our Rocky. Fantastic performance there, not least because he was also back for the Punters Club. So well done on He's Our Rocky. And that's now five straight wins. Talking of
Winning streaks.
There we go, Jimmy. The talk topic coming out again.
Talk topic's going gangbusters. A few people have already written in.
By the way, update Australia, the Wallabies, 23-15. Just got a try. So come back into it, Argentina. They 23. Have, yeah. Samu Karevi scoring his second try under the post, and you would think Bernard Foley will convert this one, no problem.
And I promise you, Jimmy, this is the last of our replays. Star turn. My good friend Gary Christ has been saying since the start of the season, this is a stellar crop of three-year-olds, and they'll be able to beat up their older horses, particularly in the sprint races.
And yet you still didn't back it?
I know, I didn't take his tip. Star turn made these older horses look second rate.
After the home turn and this battle going on for the lead, it's still about four across. Flambeau's the rail, Furnaces in the blue. Star turn three out, the Monstar four out. Malaguira coming wider. Felswerve in the checkers. Sleeves is looking for a run between horses. In the straight, Star turn, the three-year-old accelerated quickly. Kicked away for Craig Williams now from Dothraki and Felswerve, with Ocean Ember starting to finish off hard. Star turn with a long lead though on Malaguira, running a good race, but Star turn too good. Star turn by two lengths, Malaguira. We're a fell swoop, Ocean Ember's fourth, and then Dothraki.
There's Star Turn. Now, where's the other thing? What's the value of Star Turn?
Probably minimum 8 million. He has won a Group 1. He wins a Group 1, make that 20. He's beautifully bred.
Yeah.
He'll head to the Coolmore Stud Stakes now.
Okay.
Jimmy, so big day for Team Hawks. Big day for Gay Wardhouse and Adrian Bott too. I think it was a fantastic training performance, Jimmy, to get this filly to back up from the Flight Stakes into the 1,000 Guineas a week apart and win. Gay's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Gay, good morning and congratulations. Your first 1,000 Guineas, and she's one tough filly, Global Glamour.
He certainly is a tough filly, and she took even more credit yesterday, backing up in a week. How many fillies have done that, Ray and Greg?
It's never happened before, because they only moved the 1,000 Guineas to the Saturday about 3 years ago, Gay.
Exactly. Mm. But in the 3 years it's run, and it probably won't happen very often in the future. I don't think people realise that the beauty about Australian racing is that we don't have steroids, and we don't use diuretics. In a major scale like they do in some countries like the States, and horses can back up. That has never happened in America. What you saw yesterday just doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, good point.
And that's what makes Australian racing so much fun, so financially viable for owners, and a wonderful thing for the public.
Yeah, it's fun when you're winning too, I guess, Gay. At what point during the course of the week did you think, yep, this filly's right to go?
I knew from the day after she won the Flight Stakes, she absolutely ate all of her dinner. I looked at her at Randwick the next morning. Adrian and I discussed it, and I said, put her on the float. She was on the float on the Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Gay, some horses don't handle interstate trips that well, but she seemed to settle in very quickly down at Flemington.
Well, I wouldn't have run her. Mm. Look, Ray, I think that when a horse backs up, the best, my husband loves them. He always says, I love the backup horse. Yeah. And the punters do too, because it tells the public that the people connected with the horse are 110% happy with the horse. Mm.
Well, we saw that yesterday, Gay, because not only did Global Glamour win, but Yankee Rose, who ran second to you last week in the flight, she backed up and won the spring champion.
Absolutely. And full credit to Derby Racing. What a wonderful job they've done with that filly and very and lots and lots of others. Now, look, gentlemen, I have a very important announcement to make, and I wanted to make it on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I am not retiring.
Who's saying that, Gay?
Please do not think just because Adrian Bott and Gay Waterhouse are in partnership, Gay is retiring. She is not retiring. I have no intention of retiring. It has given me a bounce to my step or a jaunt in my walk or whatever it is, having Adrian there at the side.
You're enjoying it too much, Gay.
I'll tell you why I'm enjoying it, Ray. I'm enjoying it because I've got time to do the thing I'm good at, and that's being with the horses.
Yeah.
I'm able to step away from the running of the business and the financial burden and all the things that go with running a big business. Those pressures, they're completely off my shoulders, and I can just throw myself 110%. That's exactly what I've done in the last couple of months, thrown myself 110% in with the horses. And I'm just adoring it. I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying it.
And you're winning too many races, Gay. You had a winner.
Well, that's why.
Randwick as well. Broadside was very impressive.
And that's the reason we're able to win the races, because I'm back totally 110% focused on what I do well. And I love it. Mm. And Adrian has got such a bright young mind, and he so absorbs everything. You know, it's so nice to be able to work with someone who literally asks you questions. Why are you doing this? You know, what do you do such and such? You know, and then looking forward and looking to the future. It's very exciting.
You know, he's an impressive young man, Gay. Gay, just back to Global Glamour. Have you had to think about whether you press on into the spring now? Maybe a Maya Classic with her.
Oh, she'll be on the float tomorrow back to Sydney. She'll spell, and then she'll be back for the Magic Millions, and then I'll set her for the Coolmore in the autumn.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's a plan. Work your plan, Gay. Congratulations on the win of Global Glamour and Broadside yesterday, and really great to be on the program too, and short notice, and you're always very good with your time. We appreciate it.
That's okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gay Waterhouse there she goes.
Yeah. There you go. That's her announcement that she had to make, Jimmy.
Yes, and she chose to make it on our program, right? Which makes me think, did you write something during the week that she was going to retire?
Yeah. She might still be in Melbourne. Maybe they're writing it down there, possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Sydney Press has bashed up the Melbourne Press and the Melbourne racing
community.
Serve yeah,
now
they're returning serve. They're trying to push Gay Waterhouse out the door. Right. Just confirming before we go to the break, Gay Waterhouse is not retiring.
Being a bloke is busy work. You're a provider and a father and a husband. How are you supposed to fit in fitness around all that? The Man Challenge is an exercise and food program for real blokes like you. 10 weeks, just 10 minutes a day to lose weight and be a better bloke. Too right. With the Man Challenge, you can finally fit in being fit. Get the ball rolling today at themanchallenge.com.au. Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
Hi, I'm Lionel Lee. Have you sat down in front of a new LG 4K OLED TV lately? Seriously, the picture quality is incredible. I could stare at it for hours, except Mum would say, get back to work. And until Sunday, save up to a massive $1,500 off the ticketed price of selected LG 4K OLED TVs at Bing Lee. Check out our huge range of the best TVs and talk to people who really know TVs. Get a great deal on a great TV at Bing Lee. And there's a great deal more in store.
The magical Luna Park's Big Top Christmas Ball is back, Raymond, Saturday, December 17th. You know what you're doing for...
What are we going to... We should have a Big Sports Breakfast weekend Christmas dinner or something.
Yeah. What, you mean...
We've never done it before.
Invite the listeners or just us?
Well, if we invite the listeners, are you going to pick up the check?
It's a logistical nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so forget about that. You're out, listeners. And by the way, the way things are going here, we'll probably cull some of the team members here just quietly. For the
no one left to cull, Jim. We're running on the smell of an oily rag.
Producer Jeremy. Where's Producer Jeremy? Who?
Oh, you are.
This all-inclusive evening event is ideal for small businesses looking for a five-star dining Christmas experience. That's us. That's what we're looking for. Top entertainment is guaranteed on the night with MC Justin Karcher, DJ Ash. And I know you love the party band. Let's groove tonight, Ray.
Okay.
Plus, there's plenty of great prizes to be won. Probably giving out event cinema tickets and Sony Music CDs. Spots are strictly limited for what will be a memorable Christmas event. Book now at lunaparkvenues.com. They're the proud sponsor of Camp Quality.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Well, Jimmy, we mentioned earlier what a great form race the Flight Stakes has turned out to be. Global Glamour backs up from her Flight Stakes win and takes out the 1,000 guineas. And what about Yankee Rose yesterday, becoming the first filly to win the Spring Champion Stakes after her second last week to Global Glamour and the Flight. She was outstanding yesterday, and her trainer David Van Dyke's on the line. David, good morning. Firstly, congratulations. And Jimmy asked the question earlier to Gay Waterhouse. When was it that you felt that Yankee Rose had done sufficiently well enough for you to back her up in the Spring Champion, Dave?
Good morning, and thank you for that. Monday morning, I was really starting to see signs that she was ready to go again, and that certainly breaks the model of what I've seen in this filly's racing life previously. She's always pulled up a bit dusty after each run, and which... you know, we were very kind to her as a two-year-old. She only had the four starts. And, Monday morning came, and it was funny because I had owners here the day after the flight, and I said, oh, well, she's a filly that won't back up, and, you know, we've got to space her around. And I rang them up Monday, and I said, oh, just forget what I said to you yesterday.
Change your mind.
This week.
Well, you can't get locked into a plan, can you, David? I want to know during the course of the run, and because I was probably watching her not as intently as you, because I'd backed her. So
did she get more intently?
Yeah, probably more. Oh, I doubt it. Did she get further back than you anticipated? It seemed that she had a lot of work to do late.
Yes, she did. I was quite comfortable mid-race, and it was an amazing ride from Dean Yendall.
Yeah.
At the halfway mark, he was probably spotting the horse in front of him three or four lengths.
Yes.
So he was really rating her to win the race and be strong to the line, which is amazing because he's never ridden a winner at Randwick before. So he just, it was a phenomenal ride. But they got to the 600 and I saw she was seven or eight lengths off them, and I started to get a bit concerned then.
Yeah.
Then about the 500 metre mark, you could see him slapping her with the whip on the on her right neck, and I thought, oh gee, this could be ugly. And she just, in all her runs, she just seems to hit a bit of a flat spot. And when she started making ground at about the 250, I thought, oh good. You know, I think she's going to run the trip out. Mm. And that's what I was concentrating on, her just finding the line. I didn't really think that she was going to pick up and actually win the race till she just ducked in there and just went into another gear just before the 100. And she was just explosive. Mm. And it was an amazing feeling when she hit the line. And she was so strong, late after having run last week.
Yeah.
That, I mean, last week was the furthest she'd ever gone, a mile. So, to go longest distance a mile last week and then go 2,000 this week, it was an amazing performance.
Yeah, no, outstanding. Well, now the Cox Plate, Dave, and obviously it's a different level of racing again. We saw Winks yesterday at Caulfield. Hartnell's been in rampant form. The internationals are here, but your filly's in the market and she's got to be a legitimate chance now.
Yes, look, I mean, Winks is the champion. Our filly's not at this stage. And, we're under no illusions that we're going in there, the underdog. And it's just great for the owners because she's won two Group 1s this year and they're going to be their Cox Plate day and standing there in the enclosure with Winks and Hartnell. And, it's an amazing ride for them. And I just feel to a degree the pressure's off going into the Cox Plate. We're just looking forward to run a good race. But in saying that, if those top horses are having an off day, well, with 47.5, she'll be there ready to strike.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. $17 in the market, Yankee Rose. Dave, congratulations on it's a great, really great training performance.
Effort. Yeah,
well done. And you created a little bit of history, and we applaud you. And thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
There he is, David Van Dyke, the trainer of Yankee Rose. So that was a great performance. I guess even better, Raymond, when you've got a little bit of hard earn on them.
Well done,
so,
Jim.
Well done. Hey, boys, Byron Nelson won 11 straight tournaments on the USPGA Golf Tour in 1945. Cheers, Matt. Streaks.
Good one.
This is a good one.
I like this one from Michelle, though. Michelle from Dubbo. Good morning, Michelle. Hey, Jimmy, how are the stakes in Bathurst? Anything like Wellington? Well done.
Tell you what, we did have a Des Lake at the Oxford Hotel on the Wednesday night. Now, very nice piece of meat. As opposed to Wellington, I'll tell you what.
You enjoyed the steak there at Wellington, you said.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. It took an hour and a half to get to me.
That's what I didn't enjoy,
Morning, Doug.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Doug.
I've got two topics.
Yep.
I've got the one from Canberra, the way they've been winning this year.
Yeah, they're winning streak. Yeah, they've had a good year under Ricky Stewart, haven't they?
Yeah, and Malcolm Johnson, the way he rides Kingston Town.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well, Malcolm rode, I think, the king to 22 of his wins.
25?
25 of his wins.
31 wins.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I saw that the other day. There was an auction piece. It had been signed by the great man too. I think it might have been. It was. It was in the Oxford Hotel at Bathurst.
Great man,
there was
he?
A
Kingston Town
and a Malcolm Johnson sign runner. So I was reading the stats on it there. So there you go. Good on you, Doug. Yeah, appreciate that. Now, what was the name of this horse in the 1800s, the Hungarian horse?
Kinchesim. Yeah.
Kinchesim.
They've got a statue about her at the front of the Kinchesim racecourse in Budapest.
There you go. 54 races in a row.
Mm.
Undefeated record. Jimmy
never
and Ray.
Beaten. Never beaten.
Two winning streaks of note. 19 games in a row with 1975, the Eastern Suburbs Roosters, which led to the 38-0 win over the St. George Dragons in the grand final. You remember that, right?
Sadly, I do.
Yes, yes. Mm. And TJ Smith, 33 consecutive training premierships.
Now,
Tony and Nara.
Won't ever be broken.
You sure?
That will never be broken.
You sure?
That's 33 consecutive years at a top level.
You sure?
Yes.
What about Mr. Waller?
Gee, well, he's on 27 years to maintain this pace.
Yeah.
Gee. It's frenetic.
It is.
Can you keep going for that long?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? So, there you go. So great to speak with David Van Dyke and Gay Waterhouse. Coming up after the break, John Hawkes, David Hayes, Bill Moss, after the Sydney FC's 4-0 pumping the Western Sydney Wanderers. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls as well on 1353 53. It's a Big Sports Breakfast weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Jack Walker, one of the so-called Budgie Nine, has quit his role as a policy advisor to a federal government minister. Walker was one of the nine locked up in Kuala Lumpur after celebrating Daniel Ricciardo's Malaysian Grand Prix win by stripping down to his budgie smugglers printed with the Malaysian flag. Walker was an advisor in the office of Defence Industry Minister Christopher Pyne. In a statement, Mr. Pyne said the 26-year-old's resignation and apology was accepted and added that one lapse of judgment doesn't detract from the fact that Jack has been an outstanding staff member. Members of a community in far north Queensland are receiving counselling after an horrific crash at a funeral viewing. The 55-year-old man, believed to be driving the vehicle which crashed into the house and killed a woman, has been charged with murder and is expected to face further charges. It's understood the funeral was being held for the man's partner. It's Mental Health Week, and those struggling with depression and anxiety are being urged to reach out for help. Lifeline Chief Executive Pete Smigel told Macquarie poor mental health is becoming a national crisis.
Very sadly, have ourselves in the midst of a national suicide emergency. There was more than 3,000 of our friends and neighbours who died by suicide in 2015. And as a community, we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening?
The number for Lifeline is 13 11 14. Hurricane Matthew is continuing its course of destruction up the east coast of the United States. More than a million residents in Florida remain without power, and the storm now has been downgraded to a Category 1 and is hammering the South Carolina coastline. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory is warning residents of his state not to become complacent.
As soon as this hurricane turned inward, which is what we didn't want, yes, it did downgrade into wind, but it upgraded into the volume of water. And water can kill.
Top Republicans are scrambling to distance themselves from Donald Trump after the release of an audio tape recorded 11 years ago in which he boasts about groping women. Mr. Trump was speaking to the host of a celebrity TV show and does not appear to have known his remarks were being recorded. Hillary Clinton is calling them horrific. Our US correspondent Simon Marks has more.
The tape is crude, profane and politically devastating. Donald Trump telling Billy Bush of TV show Access Hollywood that he has groped women and used his star power to try and seduce them.
Well, I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Hillary Clinton says the tape is horrific. She tweeted, "We cannot allow this man to become president." Among top Republicans, there is now open discussion about whether Mr. Trump can be replaced on the presidential ticket, less than 48 hours before he's due to debate Mrs. Clinton here. Simon Marks, Air News, St. Louis.
Also in news, police are investigating a serious traffic crash that occurred overnight in Surfers Paradise. Shortly after 11 o'clock, police were called to a Fernie Avenue address following reports that a pedestrian had been struck by a vehicle. The man, aged in his 20s, was taken to hospital with serious injuries. The driver was uninjured. Investigations are continuing. Police are also calling for witnesses to a serious crash in Carindale near Brisbane involving a motorcycle and a garbage truck on Scrub Road around 6:20 yesterday morning. The rider was taken to hospital in a critical condition. This is Air News. Perth Glory conceded a bizarre own goal as Central Coast fought back from 3-0 down to secure a 3-all draw in last night's A-League clash. Adam Taggart and Diego Castro put Perth on track in the first half, but the Mariners fought back with Roy O'Donovan finding the net in the 56th minute and a gift at the 86th when a goal line clearance from Glory defender Mark Warren crashed straight into his own goalkeeper and into the back of the net. Meanwhile, Sydney FC takes local bragging rights with a slick and comprehensive 4-0 win over Western Sydney Wanderers, and Melbourne City have shaken off a second-half red card to battle to a gritty 1-0 win over the Phoenix in their opener in Wellington. Even the Flag Marshals couldn't hide their excitement when Ford Young Gun Chas Mostert finally completed Bathurst 1000 qualifying after 4 years of trying. 12 months ago, Mostert was in hospital nursing a broken leg after a horror crash on Mount Panorama. Yesterday, during top 10, scores of rabid Ford fans could be seen cheering Mostert on from the dipper where he suffered last year's spectacular crash. Seeing so many people come out during qualifying was absolutely crazy, he said. He qualified third fastest for today's race. Also in sport, the All Blacks have completed the perfect rugby championship with a 57-15 demolition of South Africa, lifting them to within sight of a test world record. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, partly cloudy, light winds becoming north-easterly, 25 to 40 k's in the middle of the day. So a bit of cloud around today, Jimmy, but a top temperature of 23 degrees, which is lovely. What about at Belmore? And we should go up to Bathurst.
Can't believe it's taken us this long to get there. It's almost negligent of us, isn't it? In Belmore today, it's going to be a maximum of 24 degrees. But let's have a look at this one. This is important. Mm. Partly cloudy today. No rain, though,
that's Bathurst. No rain.
Maximum temperature of 21 degrees. They'll be loving it.
That's a nice day.
On the mountain.
You know when you're loading a pallet of cement into the back of your ute?
Stop!
Yeah, it's the moment just after you realise it doesn't actually fit. Oh. Then you feel your heart drop as you start the process of loading each bag, one by one. If only you were driving a Volkswagen Amarok with the biggest tray size in its class, you just know that it'll get the job done in one go. And with the Amarok Core 4x4 from only $39,990 drive away, you just know it's a great deal. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
How would you like to own a mobile coffee franchise for under $50,000? You can with The Coffee Guy. Be part of the thriving coffee industry. Find out more at their free information seminar on October 22. See the Coffee Guy van in action. Try the coffee. Meet the franchisee. Spaces are limited. Register online now to qualify for one of three 6K startup bonus packs. Find out more at thecoffeeguy.net.au. Terms and conditions apply.
Deadlines are a great motivator. Need some motivation to finally do something about that beer belly? The Next Man Challenge kicks off on October the 10th. Hi, I'm Adam McDougall and I created the Man Challenge, a 10-week exercise and food program that takes just 10 minutes a day. The time to do something about your beer belly has arrived. No more procrastinating. Do it for your family. Do it for you. Do it now. Register at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
But now wings are starting to extend from Diviani and Haraki. Oh, she's a wrecking ball, Winks. And there's the seventh picket in the fence. Winks goes on to win the Chipping Norton, beats Diviani and Haraki.
Not only is Henrik Stenson the Open champion, it's the lowest score anyone has ever made in the Open. 20 under par. What a performance. A round of 63 with four birdies in the last five holes. He took everything Phil Mickelson could throw at him. And on the day, he was just too good.
Queensland have won game two. They put one and two back to back. The Blues, they sink to the ground exhausted. Queensland have won another series.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Our talk topic today is going gangbusters, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Famous, well done, Raymond.
Yeah, famous winning streaks in sport. We haven't given away a CD yet, but I'm going to give away the Bruce Springsteen CD to David from Wattle Grove, because this is going to be very hard to beat.
You're just going to encourage him, mate.
Boys, one of the longest streaks I can think of is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend quiz debacles. It just keeps on giving.
Hang on. Didn't 2 weeks ago we got it exactly right?
Which was phenomenal. That's one of the great miracles in sports.
Right.
That's another
Dave from Wattle Grove. Thank you, Dave. Jimmy and Ray, a streak in our lifetime that won't ever be repeated. The Eels Grand Finals, 81, 82, 83. That's from Paramat. Stick solid, Paramat. They might run a creditable 11th next year. You stick solid.
And this is a good one. Jimmy and Ray, from John from Moorbank. Good morning, John. Canterbury-trained racehorse Our Only had the distinction of 124 starts without a win. She retired a maiden, Jim. But she always ran an honest race, and she actually ran in weight for age races against the King, Kingston team.
Oh, there you go.
Made up the numbers.
Tom, via Twitter, if you want to send us a tweet, @BigSportsWEND, says, talk topic, Edwin Moses won 107 consecutive finals in the 400 metres hurdles between 1977 and 1987.
What a runner.
Old Man River just kept on rolling.
It was great to watch. Well, he just floated around.
And, you know, I read this, that he was elected the first chairman of the Laureus World Sports Academy.
There you go.
The Laureus Sports Awards, highly coveted awards too. Yeah, yeah. Now, this one's from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Where is it here?
I've heard about it. Is it Glenn Maxwell's piece of fielding yesterday?
I haven't seen it.
I've heard about it.
In the Matador Cup. We'll have to check that out.
On the rope, apparently. On the boundary
rope. It's one of the most brilliant pieces of work I've seen. P.S. Ray, did you know Jimmy was involved in ending a winning streak? Manly's 15-game winning streak in 1995. That's correct.
Is it really?
Brookvale Oval.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gus, that was the day that Gus Gould threatened to take us from the field.
Oh, okay.
I think the referee was David Jay.
Gee, good memory.
David Jay. And Gus... I remember Ronnie Palmer running out the message to Sean Garlick and saying...
And the bookie crowd were giving it to him.
And he was saying, Sean, Gus, Phil's saying, take the team from the field. Take the team from the field. And Sean's saying, what? What, you want us to walk off? anyway, they...
Who was it? Ray Illingworth.
Ray Illingworth,
71,
that's right.
CG Test match.
Yeah.
Took him off.
Yeah. You know, when I was playing in an under-21s game, I was captain of the under-21s one day, and Jack Gibson was the football manager. We were playing the Bulldogs. We were down about 20-0. Anyway, Ron Palmer, again, the trainers, ran out to me and said, go to the referee and say that, just to let you know, you are going to be the subject of an official inquiry by Jack Gibson to the New South Wales Rugby League. I said, what?
Just put the referee on.
So I went out there, and they said... and. I had to tell the referee, you're going to be the official subject. And he's sort of looking at me as if to say, oh, yeah, whatever. And then I said, Jack Gibson asked me to pass on that message. And he went...
Did a little light switch go in his eyes?
We ended up winning 22-20. I can't remember whether things started to run our way, Ray, but...
10-0 penalty count last half of the match.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, listen, talk about winning streaks. This stable was on a tremendous streak yesterday. Four winners, including a Group 1 with He's Our Rocky. David Hayes has been good enough to join us. David, good morning. And 83 career Group 1s for you, but a special one yesterday because it was your first with your son, Ben.
Yeah, it was. Huge thrill. We'd competed in, I think, 9 this season and been placed in 8. Placed in all of them. So it was frustrating for Ben, but it was good to break through.
Yeah, and almost another one too with Seaburge, the strong finish at the end. Did you go to the races yesterday, David, with the confidence and knowing that you'd be there or thereabouts in 4 races?
Yeah, they were well in the market.
And, yeah.
There was a case for them all, but often doesn't happen. You know, so you get bad luck, and a few of them had a bit of luck and won. So, provided they run well, it's a good result. But to get 4 on that day and nearly get 5 and win the guineas was one of our better days ever.
Yeah, super run by Seaburge to run second in the guineas. Dave, our talk topic today is about streaks in sport, and this horse, He's Our Rocky, he's on his own winning streak at the moment. It's 5 in a row now, and it started back at the championships in Sydney with back-to-back wins in the Carbine Club and the Frank Packer Plate. But a lot of horses from those two races generally go on to straight into the weight for age races in the spring, but you've taken a deliberate path through the handicaps with this horse, just giving him a chance to keep that winning streak going and get the confidence up for the Group 1s.
Yeah, he's a playing horse, but he reminds me a lot of a young bit of Loosen Up. He just has the
knack of knowing how to win.
He finds a way to win, doesn't he, Dave?
And yeah. And if you get a bit excited and run in some of those weight for age races, you probably give away two or three good handicaps. Mm-hmm. But you get the chance to run in the Emirates now and the Toorak, and not a lot of horses can do that because they're normally weighted out of it when they're his class.
Yep.
And then after the Emirates, he'll be on a weight for age path. But we've got to resist, and it makes it easy with a man like Winks around to dodge you. So, so when you can run at handicap conditions and miss Winks and earn $1 million, that's what we're doing.
According to New South Wales press, everyone's dodging Winks, especially the Victorians, Dave.
It's funny. The race had two horses against them, they're both Victorian.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know where New South Wales was.
Yeah, it's a good point, yeah. Well, what'd you make of it, Dave, just with Winks?
She was fantastic. Look, she ran incredible sectionals. They crawled early, so
yeah,
sprinted home. But I thought when Blackheart Bart was going so slowly in front, nearly a new market winner, so great sprinter, an outstanding horse, I think a high-class horse got beaten by a champion, and she's a superstar.
Yeah, that's a good line. I want to ask you about your two-year-old in the first, Wait for No One, beautifully bred. It's exciting, this colt, David?
Look, he is. A lot of people say he was lucky to win, but when you lead at Caulfield, and I always watch the sectionals that come up on the TV, and he ran a 10-3 and a 10-4 coming into the bend, they always find it hard to lead and win. He kicked, was green, looking around. I'd say it'd be pretty hard to beat the Maribyrnong Plate in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, he's a nice horse. Dave, I was impressed by the fillies win of the Thoroughbred Club Stakes. Not a lot of horses won out wide, but here the Chant just mowed them down.
Yeah, she did. She was really good. And what I liked about the win, she pulled a bit in the middle stages. So that tells me she's got more improvement in her. And she was desperately unlucky at the Valley, running last. I was quoted saying,
yeah,
the best last I'll settle up for a long time.
Exactly. No, yeah. She was impressive.
Now, we also want to... We know that Ben's doing some work with you, but I believe you got... is it Ben's twin, Will?
Will.
He's played in the... Was it the VFL Grand Final yesterday, Dave?
No, not yesterday.
Last week.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But Will and JD are identical twins, and Will played in the final, and JD was first emergency and was playing until Ling John put his hand up and got best on ground. They've had a really good year in the VFL, so it was good.
They've had a tremendous year, Footscray, haven't they? And the Western Bulldogs, wow.
hasn't that club turned around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant.
Look, Dave, the stable was flying. It was a fantastic day for the stable yesterday, and it sets it up for hopefully many more good days right through the spring carnival. And thanks so much for joining us bright and early on a Sunday morning.
No problem.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
There he is, Dave Hayes. Four winners yesterday, a second in the Caulfield Guineas as well.
And a third in the Caulfield Stakes.
So there you go. and of course, a third in the Caulfield Stakes. That's what you just said, right?
Shall I tell listeners what happened this morning or not?
Oh, mate, you could tell it if you want.
Well, Jimmy, as usual, had a gig last night.
Yeah, gigging last night.
Out in the Western Suburbs, decided against going home to the Shire.
Yeah.
And instead... came straight to French's Forest to get ready for the morning show. But I normally get here about 5:10, and Jimmy Smith's always here, diligently working away, reading the paper. Saw the car in the car park.
Yep.
Came in, no Jimmy Smith.
No.
5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes by. Producer Jeremy goes, "Where is Jimmy?" And I thought, he's not upstairs. Occasionally, you do sleep here overnight, a little room upstairs. And I went upstairs, and there was Jimmy Smith, sound asleep, snoring away. I said, "Jimmy," and you woke up
shocked. It shocked me,
I can do that to people.
And you said, "It's 5:20.
Get up.
Righto, Ray, I'm just getting a bit of shut-eye here, mate. So if you thought I was a little flat this first half hour... Take me a while to get going. Haven't we bounced back, though? Hey, there's one thing producer Jeremy can do.
He cracked the whip.
No, it's supply Weet-Bix. So, you know, we've all got our own skill set, haven't we? Good morning, gentlemen. The English-born jockey Jeff Lloyd rode 7 winners out of 8 races 3 times in South Africa when he lived there. That's from Patrice. Good on you, Patrice. That's not quite a streak, really. If he had 8 from 8, then I suppose we'd call it a streak. But we do appreciate that. 126 years, the New York Yacht Club and their lawyers, longest winning streak in sports, ended by an Aussie, Jack from Olbar.
Was it 126 or 132?
I think Jack from Old Bar might be wrong, and I think you're right, Raymond. Yeah. To be honest.
This one person just chimed in. 132 years, longest winning streak in world history of sports. 132 yeah. years, America's Cup, broken by Bondi.
And it's sent in by the great Giorgini. And of course, he's called himself the great Giorgini. It's a little bit like Andrew Martin calls himself the great man. Very strange. Well, he does, yeah, because he won the Bunners Challenge. Let's take a break. Let's have a chat about you giving up that story about me being asleep at the start of the program, right?
All covered, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. There's always been tons to like about the Big Photon Tunland Utes. And here's another thing. Tunlands drive away tons of time to pay finance offer. Drive away in a Tunland Ute today and there's no repayments for 3 months. Yes, 3 months. There's no deposit either and only 3.99% interest per annum. A new Tunland Ute with a powerful Cummins diesel engine that you can drive away today with tons of time to pay.
Available to approved business applicants only. Offer ends 31st 12 16. Terms and conditions at photonmotors.com.au.
Being a bloke is busy work. You're a provider and a father and a husband. How are you supposed to fit in fitness around all that? The Man Challenge is an exercise and food program for real blokes like you. 10 weeks, just 10 minutes a day to lose weight and be a better bloke. Too right. With the Man Challenge, you can finally fit in being fit. Get the ball rolling today at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
An all-Australian-owned and family-operated business, Garlow's Pies,
the
best premium quality pies. Hang on just a minute, Ray. I'll put my headphones on.
You like the Garlow's Pies? You should have had one now instead of fire right up.
Yeah, instead of the Weet-Bix.
That's probably what you need. Yeah.
That's right. The difference with the Garlow's Pie is it's deliciously flaky pastry on top. A bottom which is rolled extra thin. It's amazing people outside, they just come in giving you advice, 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 don't they, all the time. And you end up missing your live read.
True.
It's rolled extra thin and a filling full of only 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies, Ray, are bursting with flavour. Garlow's are in all Coles and IGA stores, and if you can't find them, ask for a Garlow's by name. And you know where else they are?
Sutton's Forest, mate.
Have you got shares in the Sutton Forest McDonald's? Fair dinkum. Gives it a mention every week. In the Canberra region, they've also got the Garlow's.
Absolutely.
It's the same with your local golf club, your RSL or your bowling club, or the canteen at your kids' footy or netball club. Just ask very nicely. In the manner of Ray Thomas.
No, don't go there. Don't go there again.
Where's the Garlow's Pies?
Juicy Jeremy's saying, hurry up. This is the longest live read in the history of radio.
Garlow's Pies, they're thin on pastry, they're big on meat.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Well, great day yesterday at Caulfield for Team Hawks. They had two super wins with Divine Prophet in the Caulfield Guineas and Star Turn in the Scalacci Stakes. Two highly prized colts and turned out in magnificent order. And John Hawks has been good enough to join us. John, good morning. I guess it's one of those days that you dream of, but they don't happen too often in this sport, do they?
No. Morning, Ray, Jimmy. Yep. No, well, that's what everybody in racing works. Yeah. Try and win those sort of races and, you know, lucky enough to have them sort of colts, but... No, it was a really, really, really good day.
Yeah. What did you make of Divine Prophet? I thought the ride of Dwayne Dunn, when the opportunity was there, went through and absolutely perfect. Did you see it the same way, John?
Yeah, no, he gave him a lovely ride, you know, throughout the race and found the gap at the right time. And he drew a good gate, which is a big plus. His last couple of runs, he's drawn bad gates. So it's always important to draw a good gate. And as I said, it was, if you needed a little bit of luck and a good barrier, you know, yesterday was the day to have it. So, but I don't know, he's been a little unlucky his last couple, but, he really done a great job yesterday.
He dug deep, didn't he, John, because he's a bulldog at the finish there. But, John, he also sort of wandered out, I guess, towards Seaburge in the straight. Was that just inexperience, first time around Caulfield?
Yeah, well, he's never been there before, to Caulfield, and it's just when the real pressure was on, he could spot him out the corner of his eye, and that's really more the Sydney way when you could see him out there. So, but you know, as I said, he's not hasn't been over-raced, the colt, but, you know, he did a tremendous job, and that's maybe, as I said, just first time. A lot of horses can't get around Caulfield, so, but he did a great job.
What's next for Divine Prophet, John?
Well, we're just going to toss it up the next few days. I mean, possibly. He's still in the Cox Plate, but, you know, as I said, he possibly may go to the paddock too. We just, you know, just got to see how he pulls up, see how he progresses in the next 2 or 3 days. And, you know, you don't make decisions on race day. Well, Beatty's come through the run really good. Mm. Yeah, we just got to weigh it up. And it's all about the horse. If the horse is perfect, well, sometimes you go on. If he's, yeah, just not. Well, it was always the autumn, so we always put the horses first, and we'll assess that in the next few days.
$26 in the market, Divine Prophet, for tab.com.au.
Well, John, you're not afraid to run a three-year-old in a Cox Plate. You've won it, of course, for the Great Octagonal, and you did run All Too Hard in the Cox Plate a couple of years ago after he won the Caulfield Guineas.
No, we're not really frightened to run any three-year-old in any race if we think they're, you know, capable of performing. You know, we did it in the start, and we've done it plenty of times in the past. So, no, but as I said, it's you can't worry about one horse or two horses. I mean, that's I've always said that. If you know your horse is right and you feel he's earned a chance at any particular race, you're there to have a go. So, but as I said, just the next few days we'll sort that out.
Well, what about Star Turn yesterday, John? There's some good judges saying this is a stellar crop of three-year-olds, and that was a good field of top-class sprinters he met yesterday at Wait for Age, and really he toyed with them.
Yeah, well, it's the good young three-year-olds can naturally, you know, can beat the older horses, albeit, you know, it was a pretty fair field. But yeah. No, there just seems a good crop of young horses this year. You know, Stern and him and Extreme Choice, and there's a few others too, if you know what I mean. So, but, you know, racing needs him. We're lucky enough to have one of them, but no, he's just getting better and better as he's doing a bit of racing. He's always had the ability. He was just mentally not quite there as a young horse, but he certainly, his mind switched right on now, and he proves that yesterday.
Let's go back to Sydney and the Moet and Chandon Spring Champion Stakes. We've been talking up, of course, the great win of Yankee Rose, but what about Swear? You must have been impressed with that. What next for that horse, John?
Yeah, he went terrific. You know, he had a lovely run. The filly was perhaps too good for us on the day, but same time, she's had a lot of racing, whereas that was only his fourth start ever in a race. So, yeah, we were pretty pleased with that, and it's all about the same thing. If he comes through really good, he can head to Melbourne for the Derby, but same thing, we just let that sort itself out in the next week or so, or next week anyway, and then if he goes the right way, he'll possibly come to Melbourne and run the Derby. But same thing, if we think, you know, he's going the wrong way, well, he goes back to the paddock. But yeah, he seems to have come through good too. So, yeah, it'd be great to come down and run in the Derby. So we'll just, you know, see how it plays out in the next week.
Now, I'm not prepared to disclose where I got this information, but a little birdie told me, John, that you do a one-on-one interview with Ray Thomas that airs on Tuesday.
And it was Team Hawks.
So compelling that it's actually been stretched out from, instead of the half-hour program, out to an hour. Is that right?
That's true, actually. Full hour, John.
Ray was talking a lot of shit, so that's why it took so long.
The questions were horrendous, weren't they?
Hey, hang on. Hang on, John. You can't say that on radio, especially early on a Sunday.
Well, it was really good, but, you know, as I said, you know, I suppose with the three of us, the team, it just might have taken a bit longer, but, it was really good, and, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I know the boys did too, so it was great.
Now, it was good fun. A little bit of mystery too, just to get you a teaser. There was something about Octagonal, which told me during the interview, which I never knew, which I think listeners and viewers will find extraordinary on Tuesday night.
That's a great tease. That's a great tease. Tuesday at 7:30. There you go. John, congratulations on yesterday. Fantastic effort from those two horses, and appreciate your time early on a Sunday.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Hawks. Great to have him. So, Divine Prophet, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. We're in the market there in the Cox Plate, of course. Just a reminder, Winks, the $1.90 favourite, $3 Hartnell, and then $15 out to an easing Black Heart Bart. Gee, what was that line from David Hayes?
Good year to have a look at it, he said.
No, but he said about the good horses, top class horses beaten by a champion. It was well said. 1353-53, the open line number. This talk topic, absolute gangbusters here. Winning streaks, Australian cricket team winning 16 matches in a row twice. Herb Elliott remaining unbeaten in 44 races at 1,500 metres or a mile. Eagle-eyed Phil. The eagle-eyed Phil's been going through the record books.
Do you want to read out Manly Man Owls?
Where's Manly Man Owls? Can't find it. Oh, there it is. Morning, boys. How about Tiger Woods' streak of... Okay, nightclubs. I think the Big Dippers get a mention there as well. Said something about his wife coming out with a five iron. Yes. thank you, Manly Man. Now, let's go to the open line. You got one there?
Just Judy's worried about me. Jimmy is just waiting for the opportunity to get back at you, Ray, for giving him up. Take care, Ray, Judy. And hi, Jeremy, she says. Good morning, Judy.
Judy? Is that your auntie?
No, Judy's a loyal listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's loyal to you.
No, loyal to both of us.
She loves the opportunity to stick the knife into me.
No, she doesn't. She's just concerned about... You haven't had enough sleep.
But you
probably had too much sleep this time.
You're very right, Judy. I am waiting for the opportunity to get back at Ray. You're spot on. Hello, Rob.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, mate.
A couple of things. Obviously, the Fish Fingers had a good crack at the Roosters' mighty record, the 19, which has already been mentioned.
Yes.
And the mighty Roosters in 1975, we won't get a better side than that.
Yeah,
but crossing codes, football, you've got to have a good look at Ange Postecoglou, our coach, which I think is just a fantastic coach of our national team. 36 wins for the Brisbane War Roar back in 2011-2012. I think that's just a fantastic phenomenon.
Mm.
And to win two premierships on the way. And just the third thing, I'd like to have a bit of a say about Rebecca Wilson. Sad passing. She wrote an article about Mitchell Pearce, which I did not like at all. But I respect her immensely for the fortitude that she took on articles, and she wrote exactly what she thought. I'm a passionate Rooster supporter, but I did read it, and I think if Mitchell read it as well, it probably helped in changing him as a person.
Well said, Rob.
Farewell to Rebecca.
No, very well said, Rob. It was encapsulated Rebecca perfectly, I think.
Mm.
Gallows Pies, an all-Australian-owned, family-operated business using 100% Australian lean Aussie beef and bursting with flavour in all Coles and IGA stores. And if you can't find them, you ask for Gallows by name. The difference with a Gallows Pie is the deliciously flaky pastry on top and a bottom which is rolled extra thin. They are my favourite pies.
Hey, Mum, don't forget the Gallows.
Hey, dolls, don't forget me, love.
You tell them, kiddo. At Gallows Pies,
we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the 2015 Epsom Handicap. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And winks. Wow.
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet this spring when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab. We love a bet. Replays available on all New South Wales races. Gamble responsibly.
Luna Park's magical Big Top Christmas Ball is back.
Saturday, December 17th.
This all-inclusive evening event is ideal for small businesses looking for a five-star dining Christmas experience. Top entertainment is guaranteed on the night with MC Justin Karcher, DJ Ash, and party band Let's Groove Tonight. And plenty of great prizes to be won. Spots are strictly limited. Book now at lunaparkvenues.com. Proud sponsor of Camp Quality.
Deadlines are a great motivator. Need some motivation to finally do something about that beer belly? The Next Man Challenge kicks off on October the 10th. Hi, I'm Adam McDougall and I created the Man Challenge, a 10-week exercise and food program that takes just 10 minutes a day. The time to do something about your beer belly has arrived. No more procrastinating. Do it for your family. Do it for you. Do it now. Register at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre, Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Of course, the A-League has started in earnest. Good TV numbers for the Friday night game. That was Brisbane up against the Melbourne Victory. It was 1-1. But the live crowd was what we're all talking about out at ANZ Stadium. A new record, over 61,000 people watching a non-finals match between Sydney FC and the Western Sydney Wanderers. And in the end, they were pumped. The Sky Blues doing it, which were pretty happy. Hang on, who do you support?
Oh, I'm actually a Sky Blues man.
Yeah, me too.
I do like both teams, though.
Oh, of course you do. None like you to take it bob each way. We'll find out which way Phil Moss was leaning in this one. He's joining us on the line to talk football. G'day, Phil.
Good morning, guys. The sun is up this morning in more ways than one, certainly after last night and what we witnessed.
Yeah, what about that for the A-League? It is huge. It's probably disappointing for Wanderers fans, obviously, but just to get that volume of people, Phil, it's... I know it's been said a lot about Australian football previously, but bright new era domestically?
Yeah, look, it really is. And I said yesterday morning on Fox Sports News that it was football's chance to really stand alone and enjoy the spotlight and stand proud and just show how far the game's come in this country, the domestic competition. I mean, if you look back to the good old days of the NSL, you know, that really set the platform. Then we had to go into hiatus for a year to get this product up and running. And, 11 years down the track, it's looking phenomenal and just getting stronger and stronger. And the crowd last night was, certainly justified that.
Phil, what did you make of the game? 2-0, I was listening to it on the way home, and it was 2-0 when I did get to listen to the game. A Wanderers player was sent off, reduced to 10 men, two more goals towards the end of the match for Sydney FC, four goals in the second half. Was that a fair reflection of the gulf between the two teams?
Look, I think it was a fair reflection on the, the hunger in front of goal by Sydney FC. And, I think they just broke the back of Western Sydney Wanderers with the first half. It was a real arm wrestle. It was... very, very much a midfield battle in that first half. And I think Sydney just wore Western Sydney down. And when you do that in a game of football, you suffocate the opposition. And once you do that for long enough, then you get your chances. And Sydney got them and took them. And, West Sydney are in a lot of trouble. They've conceded 8 goals in their last 2 games, if you include the FFA Cup down in Melbourne City. And now last night, and also a flare went off in the Western Sydney crowd section. And... we all know what happened last year. They got fined $50,000 and there was a 3-point suspended sentence hanging over their head for 12 months. So there could be more ramifications from that over the coming days.
Okay, tough for Wanderers. Up and up for Sydney FC, though. And especially when your marquee men are doing well, Bobo and Philip Holosko. What did you make of their performances last night, Phil?
Yeah, it was marquee magic last night, and every coach wants their top men to perform on the big stage. And Graham Arnold will wake up this morning very, very happy. I mean, he's never got a massive smile on his face, good old Arnie, but inside he'll be chuffed with last night. I mean, I thought Holosko was, for me, he was my man of the match. I thought he was so influential with his assist and his goal, and Bobo showed what he's about. You know, he held the ball up when he had to. He was clever with his distribution, and he was always sniffing there or thereabouts, when there was a chance to score, and he got his goal. So overall, very, very good night. Was it a well-oiled performance? No, it wasn't, but you never get that from any team in round one after a six-month off-season.
Yeah.
But certainly the signs are very, very ominous for Sydney FC.
What about for Western Sydney Wanderers then, Phil? Is there some encouraging signs, at least for their fans?
Yeah, there is. I thought the performances of Tussu Kami, the Japanese boy, that was very, very good. He caught my eye in pre-season and he really backed it up last night, on debut, A-League debut for the club, and I think he'll be one to watch this season. And Kieran Bullitt, he didn't score last night, but he showed that he's really got that eye for goal and he knows where to be and when to be there. So, with Matt Sharpness, he'll certainly improve. But it's at the other end where they really were vulnerable. And Nikolai Topol-Stanley was out, their captain, their leader, was out suspended. And Tony Popovich will be looking to get him back in the lineup as quickly as possible because their back four looked very disjointed. And Brendan Hamill, as good a player as he is, he's not a left back. He's a central defender and he's a right-footed player. So playing at left fullback left him quite exposed as well.
Mm. All right, let's have a look at today's game, Newcastle versus Adelaide. How do you see this one shaping up, Phil?
Interesting game. Adelaide, obviously, the defending champions. They won the Premiership and Championship last year. You know, really put Adelaide on the A-League map. And they've had a very, very disrupted pre-season. A lot of departures, key players, Brucey Gitte, who scored for fun at the back end of last season, yeah. Took them all the way to the double. Sanchez, who used to give them goals off the bench, he's gone as well. Stefan Mork from midfield. So they've lost some really key players. Have they replaced them with like-for-like quality? That's the big question mark. Guardiola comes in, a striker from Spain. You'd like to think Dean Moore, the coach, has got very good eyes and ears in Spain, so you would think this will be a good signing. But it may be too little too late. I'm expecting it to take them a long time to find their feet in this season's competition. It might be too late to mount a challenge. Newcastle, new coach, Mark Jones, just came in a few weeks ago after Scott Miller was sacked. Scott Miller had brought in some very good signings.
Yeah.
So Jones has got a good squad at his disposal, and I'm expecting him to get the points today.
Phil, did you get a chance to catch up the Wellington-Melbourne City game yesterday? From all reports, City were outstanding, particularly in the first half, even without their marquee player Tim Cahill, who's on Australian duties, but City apparently were brilliant.
They were, and the combinations between Colazzo, Fornaroli, Kamau, Brandon, Bratton, Caceres, I mean, their attacking
good team,
arsenal
yeah, good team,
without
yeah.
Timmy Cahill was just phenomenal, and it was great to watch. And the only thing really lacking was more goals.
Mm.
Wellington, it was very windy and wet over there in Wellington, but I think Mark Bosnick said it on Fox Sports that Melbourne City put on a hurricane of their own, and Wellington just couldn't cope with the fierce power of their attack after attack. And they're going to be a force this season, there's no doubt. We all know that they're the richest club in the competition. They've recruited very well. They're looking like they're playing a fantastic style of football. Bring Timmy Cahill into the mix and there's more goals for you.
No EPL overnight. We've got some World Cup qualifiers there. I see England have beaten Malta 2-0. You would expect that result. Yeah. Anything else jump out at you there, Phil?
Yeah, Daniel Sturridge and Dele Alli, the scorers for England. Slovenia are up 1-0 over Slovakia with a couple of minutes to go. Now, Slovenia are the next opponents for England during Gareth Southgate's interim role as manager for England. And he's got four games to prove to the English FA that he's good enough to take the job full time. So he'll be keen to get two from two when they take on Slovenia on Tuesday, I think it is. And in Group C, Germany doing it quite easy over the Czech Republic, 3-0 up with a few minutes to go. So just some results overseas in that international break. And obviously the Socceroos touched down in Melbourne last night ahead of their World Cup qualifier against Japan in Melbourne on Tuesday night. A massive, massive game for a national team.
Big game, very important. That's a pretty good debut from Phil Moss.
Yeah, well, Phil's on debut for us. He's been doing the Big Sports Breakfast during the course of the week, so I had no doubts about the quality of his work. Ray, it sounds like you did.
No, not at all. I'm just saying Andy Pascalides might be wanting to rush back from his 11-week tenure in India.
Oh, gee. Hey, you kill them off quickly, don't you, Ray? Andy who? been on the station for 20 years, Phil. I tell you what. You don't want to look sideways at Ray Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
He's ruthless.
He's a hard man.
He's a good man. He's doing some great work with the Indian Premier League over there too.
Yeah, fantastic. Good work,
you,
Phil.
Thanks so
you
much.
You know what, Phil? Ray's instructed me to tell you, we'll have you back next week, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Phil.
Phil Moss there. Remember that big game today, the Jets up against Adelaide United, round one of the A-League. $3.50, the Newcastle Jets. $2.05, Adelaide United. And the draw is $3.40. Now, what right now we need to do is call for some contestants in the Event Cinemas quiz.
On 1353
Dave from Wattlegrave. How many? We got it right. I swear we got it right 2 weeks ago, didn't we?
I think we did.
Did we?
It's
well, hang
a blur.
On. We got it right by our standards anyway. Call now if you want to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. 1353
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
We
window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The creator of the Man Shake and footy legend Adam McDougall, producer Jeremy, has a new training program. It's called the Man Challenge, a 10-week online training program for blokes. It's a 10-minute total body workout. Signed, 10-minute total body workout. That's about 50 minutes short of what you usually do every day, right?
You know, producer Jeremy was just trying to help us in, don't you? He was just trying to organise things for us.
Talking over the live roof's not going to help anyone, is it?
You didn't give the poor guy any notice you were coming back.
Panel operator Hamish was waving at me to do the live read. The 10-minute total body workout, scientifically proven to work, and there's no gym, so no excuses, Ray.
No excuses.
We live in a no-excuses environment here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. There are live video workouts with Adam McDougall and the footy stars that you can access any time of day from any mobile device. Plus, easy-to-follow meal plans with real man food, which means you can still enjoy a beer and a burger and no doubt a Gallo's pie. Just 10 minutes a day over 10 weeks. The Man Challenge kicks off on October 10. So 10 minutes a day for 10 weeks kicks off October 10, the 10th month. The Man Challenge.
That's tomorrow.
That's right. So sign up now, themanchallenge.com.au. That website again, themanchallenge.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Event Cinema Quiz time. Prakash and the team, I think, been recognised overnight at the Australian Cinema Awards as the best run event cinema. Actually, hang on. Words just coming through. Best run cinema in Australia. So Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta.
Yeah, Prakash, good listen job, and understand he gets
loves
always,
the show.
Gets all his accolades.
You know who he supports?
Is he Parramatta man?
Roosters.
Roosters. No wonder you organise.
Probably shouldn't say that in the heart of Eels territory.
We need to try and stop our streak, so to speak, Jimmy.
Right, yep.
Can we get through a Z&Z quiz without stuffing it up?
Wouldn't have thought so, Ray, but let's have a go.
We'll have a go. Our first contestant on the line is Stan. Stan, good morning. You there, Stan?
Yeah, I'm here, yep.
Oh, yeah, geez. Okay. We're almost off to a slow start, but we're in the game here. Hey, Stan, you know the drill, so the very best of luck. Here's question number one, the Event Cinema Quiz. Who scored the first try in last week's grand final? Was it Ben Barber, Jesse Bromwich, or Andrew Fifita?
Oh, Benny Barber.
Solid start from Stan.
Rock solid, Stan.
Question number two. Which legendary cricketer's son starred at the under-17 Cricket World Champs this week? Was it Greg Chappell's son, Steve Waugh's, or Mark Taylor's?
Steve Waugh's.
Spot on, Stan.
Austin Waugh.
Yes, yeah. What was the line about Steve? He said, oh, my dad knows a little bit about cricket. Very understated.
I love
like
the fact
his old man.
Steve didn't want to get photographed with Austin.
I love that.
He was there at the ground and said, no,
Austin's
no.
moment, yeah. Hey, sorry, Stan. Off to a flyer, 2 out of 2. Here's question number three. What was the final score in the Ryder Cup won by the US in Minnesota last week? Was it 18-10, 17-11, or 16-12?
Wouldn't have a clue.
Oh, okay, careful, yeah. Stan.
Wouldn't have a clue. I'm going to take a stab. I'll take the last one.
16-12. It was 17-11, but good score, Stan. Two out of three.
Good on you, Stan. Stay on the line there, mate. You probably come second. Mitch.
From the northern end.
Here's Mitch. G'day, Mitch.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, really well, mate. You right to go with this?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Who did Brisbane Roar play in the A-League opener on Friday night? Was it Wellington Phoenix, Melbourne Victory, or Perth Glory?
Melbourne Victory.
Solid.
Nice. Yeah. Well done, Mitch. Question two. Which high-profile Aussie athlete had their Athletics Australia funding cut this week? Was it Michelle Jenneke, Jared Talent, or Fabrice Lapierre?
Michelle Jenneke.
Nice.
Solid start here.
Okay, this for the win, Mitch.
Educated guess, fellas.
Here we go. They all count. Who scored the second goal in Australia's 2-2 draw with Saudi Arabia this week? Was it Trent Sainsbury, Tommy Urich, or Robbie Cruz?
Oh, Tommy Urich.
Oh, well done. Clean sweep.
Three from three. You can't miss
there. Congratulations, mate.
So there you go, mate. We've got a VMAX.
17-11, by the way, boys.
What was that?
Was it 17-11 for the other bloke's question?
Oh, see,
it was, yeah.
You know what?
Six out of six for Mitch.
Mitch is doing our job there, really. We should have said what was the correct answer.
I did, but you were talking.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, yeah. What a shock. Mitch, double pass to Event Cinemas.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, well, no done, problem. Mitch. It's the VMAX pass too, so that's the big cinemas. So, mate, we'll be sending them out your way. Stay on the line. We'll get your details and we'll go from there.
Top stuff, guys.
Well, yeah, congratulations,
Mitch. Three from three. Pretty solid there, wasn't it?
And he knew the other question as well.
What do you reckon, Dave, from Wattlegrove? I think we pretty much got through that.
Now that one?
Yeah. Well,
slow start.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to us getting it right, I reckon that's as close as we'll go.
Score check now.
It is now. You're 21, I'm 20. Ding-dong battle there. Mm.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Well, we know the rugby league season is finished domestically. There is the Four Nations going
on. Sharky supporters, they're still enjoying
That's
it.
That's true. There's still a test match to be played in Perth next week, but we thought we'd get Zorb on to wrap up what has been a tremendous year of rugby league and just get his thoughts on the NRL Grand Final. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Yeah,
morning,
it's all
Pete.
Over. But as you say, the top players, they just keep playing. I just wonder how long it's going to be before the likes of Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Darius Boyd and players that, you know, played Origin this year, played right through into the finals, a lot of them into the Grand Final. And now they've got a test match next week and then a short tour of England. That's a lot of football.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? What did you make of the grand final? I know you're up on the Sunshine Coast. I was out there, Zorba. The atmosphere rivaled 2014 when South took on the Bulldogs. How did it come through the telly for you?
Oh, great game. I think for the game, a great result. I thought, you know, they were gone at the end, but they, Fifita scored that try. And the party goes on. Monkey off their back, bridesmaid dress can be left to the side. Only two clubs now that haven't won a competition, and that's the Titans and the Warriors, and I don't think we'll be seeing that anytime soon.
Zorb, Jimmy and I are speaking about the Kangaroo selections earlier in the show, and particularly the decision to leave out Andrew Fifita and Sammy Radradra for decisions or reasons other than football. What do you make of the team and also particularly the omission of those two players?
Well, I'm absolutely disgusted that the NRL has stepped in on this. I mean, they've got to realise that it's boundaries. They can't act outside of the law of the land. And the actions against Semi Radradra and Andrew Fifita this week, in my opinion, is outrageous and unfair. What's happened to the time-honoured presumption of innocence? Radradra was wearing the green and gold of Australia a few weeks ago in Papua New Guinea, and on that Australian jersey was a message about domestic violence.
Yes.
The man says he will fight a domestic violence charge in court. Surely he deserves that day before he is prejudged. Like Sean Kenny-Dowell earlier in the year, who went to court and was found not guilty of all charges. In fact, the judge commented on what a fine, upstanding person he was. As for Fifita, he's guilty of supporting a long-time friend who committed a vile act for sure, but I can't see how that is a reason to leave him out of the side. The NRL isn't the keeper of our rules in society. They should run the game and not try and run people's lives, in my opinion. I'm disgusted, and I just wonder if it can come back and bite them. I don't think that a governing body of the game has the right to do what they've done.
And yet we've had from Mal Meninga and senior players come out and support the move from the ARLC as well, Zorba, which I think James Maloney probably said it best, and he was in a difficult position because he's a teammate of Fifita's at the Sharks, but he's just been selected for his first Australian. He said, I think there's been a blurring of the lines.
Well, I'm sure that the players don't feel all that happy about it. And there are players in this Australian side that have, I think, performed worse acts during their career, and yet they've been forgiven. I don't make any apologies for that. And I think everybody should be given a second chance. I just think, particularly Rod Radra, I mean, the man hasn't been able to do anything about other than say he's not guilty and that he will go to court. Now, if he's guilty, then rub him out of the game then. But until then, I don't think you have the right to do that. I'm sorry, I've seen it too many times. I went through it at my own club at Manly with Brett Stewart. You know, the club stuck by him when the league wanted to hang him out to dry, and he was found not guilty, thrown out of court very quickly by a jury. So I just think we're going down a path we don't need to go down in a game of sport.
All right, big news for the Manly club. Jake and Tom have signed till 2020, end of 2020. Give us an understanding of the impact these two guys are going to have over the course of the next 4 years, Zorb.
Well, you need a foundation to build a drive on, and they're both local juniors. They're both fine kids. They're both outstanding players, and they're not going anywhere. They've signed on for till the end of 2020, and we're sure that it'll go beyond that. And they're going to be the foundation in which we rebuild the club. And Bob Fulton's done a great job together with the boys' parents and their manager, and even as much as talking to their grandma about where the boys are going to go and the future of the club. So it's a major coup, as is South's signing of Greg Inglis this week until 2020 as well. He'll finish his career at the Rabbitohs, so that's a great coup for them as well.
And Zorb, I know you love your English Super League. 70,000 at the GF this morning.
Yeah, 70,000 to see Wigan come from behind and beat Warrington 12-6. Mm. Not the greatest game in the world. I much enjoyed Fiji beating Samoa 20-18. Samoa led 18-0.
Yeah.
And Fiji came back and beat them. Oh, if anyone gets a chance to watch a replay of this, I couldn't stop laughing at the commentators. I don't know where they got them from, but boy, they were just amazed at the size of Cassiano and Junior Paulo. And they played in the losing side. Cassiano, Junior Paulo, Kayser Pritchard, Tim Laffier. They all played for Samoa, who looked terrific early. But the likes of Corbin Sims, Braden Williami, Kevin Naguama, Appy Corrissau, David Nofaluma, Kane Evans, they got Fiji home in a highly entertaining game. We're going over to play in the Four Nations. Both Fiji and Samoa would put 30 points on Scotland. Scotland may as well play in their kilts because they have got no right to be in the company of Australia, New Zealand and England. They got their virtue of a performance in the last World Cup, and quite frankly, they're going to get lapped. It'll be Australia, New Zealand in the final. England will make up the numbers, and Scotland shouldn't be there. But it's going to be interesting. David Kidwell is the new coach of New Zealand. They left out big Manu Vatavai, and they left out a fine young player in Lolahia. I don't know what they're doing with this kid over there in New Zealand, but they'll drive him out of the place. He's an outstanding talent, and he can't get a run. I don't know why. It looks like Kevin Locke all over again, a smaller player but with brilliant speed and something special about him, and he doesn't get a run.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? Leave him on the bench for 80 minutes. That one didn't make a lot of sense. That was against Manly too, I think. Kangaroo reunion today. If anyone's looking to get... I don't know where it is.
It's at the SCG.
Right, well... Get your autograph book and get down there because...
Yeah, I think so too. I was going to say the same thing, Jimmy. You won't get a better chance. I mean, you've got the current squad that's going overseas will be farewell today. So Cameron Smith will lead the side in. And you'll get all of those players and some of the greats of all time will be there today. The remaining immortals will be there. There'll be players from Queensland come down as well that played the game at a great level. So it'll be something special to be at today.
Yeah, outstanding. Good on you, Zorb. We've thoroughly enjoyed our year, mate. Congratulations on all your good work. Enjoy your off-season. We'll speak again next year.
I'd love to. What on you, boys? Have a great off-season.
Yeah. All the best, Pete.
There he is, Zorb. He's been our league man. I tell you what, he throws his topics up. He doesn't, without fear or favour.
He always front and centre, isn't
he? Yeah, absolutely. And we love having him on the program every week. So great to have Peter Peters on during the course of the
streaks
year.
In sport, just before Tanya gets ready.
Yes.
You two, as in you and I, using the term gangbusters every week to describe how a topic is going. You know what? TC's 100% correct. It's like the word massive. We need to get some new...
No, I don't, because...
Use massive.
You need, to sell it as well, you know? And that's what we're in the business of, Raymond.
It's selling. Other words than massive, though. And gangbusters.
We're also in the business of telling people who's going to run today around New South Wales. So for the first time this morning, we say, good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Hawkesbury and Coonamble. Hawkesbury, Flavours of the World Race Day. Sounds scrumptious, doesn't it? We'll start with Hawkesbury, where the weather is fine. The track, a good 3. The rail, true. Penetrometer, 4.71 and 14 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of the second, take number 4, Thorn in My Side, and 7, Astro Miss, 4 and 7. Race 3, number 8, Sovereign Wealth, 12, Tennessee Man, 17, Western, and 18, Shifty Thinker, 8, 12, 17, and 18. Out of the fourth, number 1, The Bull, number 1 from race 4. Race 5, number 4, Mitch and Jazz, 5, Roving Eye, and 9, Ruby Spot, 4, 5, and 9. Race 6, number 7, Dylan's Romance, number 7 from the 6th. Out of race 7, take out 8, Deer Mountain, number 8. And out of race 8, number 4, Peter John, and 6, Speed Hero, 4 and 6 from race 8 at Hawkesbury. Coonamble, the weather is fine, the track a soft 5, rail true, and there are 24 scratchings. Race 1, take out 12, Break Up, 14, Shinsami, 15, Not On Time, and 16, Shake Off, 12, 14, 15, and 16. Race 2, number 8, Libby Tickets, 14, Little Blue Kisses, 15, Hot Espresso, and 16, Luciano Girl, 8, 14, 15, and 16. Race 3, number 4, Southwell, 6, Swooping Magpie, 16, Dynamite Dan, 17, Balladie Bob, and 18, Lady Balladia, 4, 6, 16, 17, and 18. Races 4 and 5 are clear. To race 6, take out 4, First Alliance, 7, Gilded Spirit, 15, Real Blonde, and 16, Star Approach, 4, 7, 15, and 16. Out of race 7, number 3, Philomena, and 4, Annandale Lass, 3 and 4 from race 7. Out of race 8, number 1, Slate on Edge, and 13, Southern